We have now come to our catechism question. Please take your hymnals. As always, you can turn to page 671 for the shorter catechism question today. We have arrived at number 89. Once again, I'll read the question and let the congregation read in unison the answer with me. Question 89 of the shorter catechism states, how is the Word made effectual to salvation? The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. The key adjective here, effectual. It means to be successful in producing a desired or intent result, to be effective. How is the Word effective to salvation? In our answer, we see that it gives you the object. Clearly here, the Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word effective. Well then here, we must understand why the Word, the object here, and what we are being placed on is affected to salvation. It's clear because you need an axiom to start. In the faith, you need a starting point. And how is it to know God but to know it by the Word? The axiom here is, for a believing Christian, the Bible is the Word of God written. And in that, can we understand and know to the self-attaining Word, it speaks of God and of it, God reveals himself alone. How so? We look at our confession, and not only just our confession, but another tied to one back in history, the Gaelic Confession of 1559, it uses the Word at its starting point. You can start from no other. If one were to say, I believe in God, the question means, what God? Are you talking about a tree? Are you talking about a sign? Are you talking about that burning bush that's over there that seems to be sparkling embers in the air? What God do you speak of? Here now we understand the Bible is to be that Word that God has used to reveal himself. Our confession states in chapter 1, section 1, although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest the goodness, wisdom, and power of God, as to leave men unexcusable, it is not sufficient to give that knowledge of God and his will, key clause here, necessary, unto salvation. It continues then, therefore, it pleased God at sundry times in divine manners to reveal himself, to declare his will unto the church. For what so? To better preserve, to propagate his truth, to provide a more establishment and to comfort his church. So much so, it is the reason why the same is written unto holy to make the holy scriptures to be most necessary unto salvation. Psalm 19:8 states, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So now, I don't want to say so much you are convinced that the Word is made effectual to salvation. I'm going to give you the understanding and clear duties of your expectation here. One, the Word is to be read by all. Deuteronomy 17:19, it shall be with him. He shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes. Now, mind you, I want to clear the particular mindset here, though. As one who say, well, we have the law of God here, and it is written, do not be foolish to think it is in the power of the very letters in which your salvation lies on. But it is the Spirit, the effectual work of the Holy Ghost in your hearts to show you, to reveal to you the meaning behind it. For what makes you the difference between a humanist who reads the book and a Christian who does? You are affected to the point that you will come to faith in Christ and seek repentance. The humanist, on the other hand, read it, furthering their own hostility to God, denying themselves to believe that it is true. Again, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6 clarifies this point. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, mind you, we both read the word, and that is our duty. But to those who are gifted to preach the word, oh, so much is the account that's given to them. Now, you come to the faith, and you have a liberty that comes associated with it. Christ has purchased that for you. But do not take upon your liberty lightly. Do not oppose the men who sit on this pulpit to clarify and expose and extol the word of God to you. For to do so, and that they speak in truth, you resist the very ordinance of God himself. This is in our confession, chapter 20, section 4. Again, I bring such to your attention. Why is it so prevalent to understand the preaching of the word and its effectual application and understanding how salvation is to you? Think. Let me bring your attention to Romans 10, 14, and 15. And Paul brings these questions, and they have gravitas to what we're speaking here. How then would they call on him in whom they have not believed? How would they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how would they hear without a preacher? How would they preach unless they are sent? For how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. I mind you, if these men who will stand in this pulpit, who extol the word of God, the truth to the word of God, to you, in order that you understand your liberties in Christ, that you understand what your faith is in there for. For I tell you, in them preaching you the word, and very much so, that they preach it in truth, that God is speaking himself to you, watch as God has kept these men and gifted them, so that they keep watch over your souls. Hebrews 13, 17. So that they can preach the message to those who will believe. 1 Corinthians 1, 21. So that they can translate to give you a sense of an understanding of what you are reading. For they provide you comfort. For in the scriptures, in Nehemiah 8, verse 8 and 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So that they may show you, and that you may turn away from darkness and from the dominion of Satan to God, and that you may understand your forgiveness of sins in Christ. Acts 26, 18. So now we have an understanding here. The duties both to those who preach the word and to those who are expected to read the word. Then just how much powerful is the word and its effect onto salvation? It convinces and humbles us as sinners. 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25. An unbeliever or an ungifted man enters. He is convicted by all, but he is called an account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God. Again, Acts 2, 37. And when they heard, they were pierced in their heart and asked the question, brethren, what shall we do to be saved? And again, I say to you, not only are you convinced and humbled by the word, you are drawn onto Christ, the object of your faith. And how so? The word shows you how to conform to his image, and it subdues you to his will. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Beholding as a mirror in the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And again, 2 Corinthians 10:5, you take every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ. Again, I tell you much more encouragement to me, and mind you that you are now using the word to go against the wells that comes in this earth, whether it's by the great tempter or it's by personifying humanists, you shall see that the Lord is with you as you seek on his word. Ephesians 6, 16 and 17, how he used the analogies here to show how you are to guard yourself and to how to live as one who has the word as their solace. In addition, take up that shield of faith in which you'll be able to extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. And again, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. So then to the why. We know that we're convinced and humbled as sinners. We know we'll be conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. And again, we can tell and tempt. We can go against the temptations of the tempter. But then, what is in us and how our preservation and assurance is being built up? Well, this is the word and it's effectual unto salvation and its work in your life. For we know in 2 Timothy 3:15 and 17, Scripture is inspired by God for teaching, reproof, correction, to train up in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for good works. It also works at the piercing of the heart and provides you comfort in your faith. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever was written in the early times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we may have hope. Now you are to think, well, I know now how the word is made effectual unto salvation. But I just want to bring to your attention why it is so important to understand the way the answer was phrased, that the Spirit of God at His Word, making us able to see and understand the prevalence of the reading of the Word, but not just the preaching, effectual by converting sinners and building them up in comfort through faith unto salvation. I bring you to Acts 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. And how so? That he makes charge and go about his business, and he had go to Jerusalem to worship. And upon sitting in his chariot, he reads Isaiah, where it states, he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation, for his life is removed from the earth? So as he's reading this, he comes upon a man named Philip, and he invites him and to sit with him. And he read him that passage, and he says, and he answered to Philip, please tell me, what does this prophet say? Now, as it goes back to exactly what I stated earlier before, look, he is reading the word, but he has no means of understanding what is being explained here. And mind you, that God in his providence provided Philip to be there at the exact moment in order to explain to him what the word means. The passage continues. Philip opened his mouth and began from this scripture, and he preached Jesus to him. You see the prevalence of where the divines were explaining, and not only just making the word, but especially the preaching of the word. The gravitas that these men hold to convey to you what is being understood. God has an ordinance and he wants you to understand why it is to be followed. You have this book, and mind you, it is one thing to read it, but to understand and then believe what is stated. God and his providence had made full assurance, and as the confession states, to the comfort of the church, to establish that so you will be able to persevere in your faith. Well then, how much so? The man jumps with joy. They look ahead and they see a working of water. And he says, look, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you will believe with all your heart, you may. And then he answered and said in such phrase, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down. And as Philip went down and the eunuch followed him, Philip baptized the eunuch. And as they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him. But on his way, he went rejoicing. I can see no much better than this passage to explain the basis on our answer on how the word is made effectual to salvation. So if you ever fret and you're ever in need some understanding of where God is taking you in a particular point in life. You can always turn back to the scriptures, but I also remind you, the elders and the deacons are one phone call away from giving you encouragement and to continue to help you as you persevere in your faith. Please stand.